Chapter 13. Tim, Cooper, Dave, and Julian followed Butterbean along a small trail through an ever-darkening forest. The trees themselves were thin and spindly pines. They grew out of rocky soil, and their pitiful needles looked more gray than green. The lack of other life was conspicuous. No birds flying around or squirrels chasing one another up tree trunks. The silence was disquieting, all the more so because Julian had the sneaking suspicion that it was a false silence. Something was out there, watching them, maybe even following them.
"Do you guys notice anything strange about this place?" asked Julian.
"Other than it's creepy as fuck,"
offered Cooper.
"The elevation seems to be rising," said Dave. "I'll bet you that this leads up to that big cliff overlooking the city."
"I wasn't talking about the topography," said Julian. "I feel like we're being watched."
"I'll grant you it's a creepy forest," said Tim. "But don't let your imagination run wild. Just stay close together and we'll be okay. Butterbean looks like he's still hot on some trail."
Indeed, the wolf sniffed eagerly at the ground ahead of them, wagging its tail and barking, seemingly impatient for them to catch up. The party could only move as fast as Dave, who was trudging along slowly due to his short legs and the encumbrance of his armor. It wasn't long before the burning in Julian's thighs told him that Dave was right. They were definitely traveling uphill. Every now and again, he'd catch a shadow flicker by in the corner of his vision, but turning quickly revealed nothing. He could feel that Ravenous shared his unease, and he'd sent the bird out a few times to fly in circles around the party, but he never brought back news of having seen anything. Cooper stepped off the trail to pee. The steady trickle of urine on bark was the only sound for miles, it seemed, until the ground gave way beneath him. On his way down, his dick must have hit a tree root or a rock or something.
"Fuck,"
he said as he sprayed piss all over his face. He was standing upright, but he was only visible above the shoulder. The rest of him was submerged underground. When he got his dick under control and spat the urine out of his mouth, he began to climb out of the hole. He had both arms and one leg out when he sank suddenly back into the hole.
"Yow!"
he shouted.
"Something's got my foot!"
Tim and Dave grabbed his arms and pulled. Whatever it was that had a hold of his foot from below wasn't letting go of its catch without a fight. Julian wanted to help, but couldn't find a convenient place to take hold of Cooper. He considered grabbing him by the ears, but didn't think that would be very helpful. Though Tim and Dave pulled as hard as they could, they were slowly losing the struggle. Cooper was sinking deeper into the hole. If Julian could only get a line of sight on the creature, he could at least blast it with a magic missile. He leaned around every way that he could think of, but could get sight of nothing between Cooper's huge body and the dust everyone was kicking up in the air. Butterbean growled and barked. Ravenous flapped around in a panic. Tim's feet and Dave's boots scraped along the rocky ground. All of that was drowned out with one long, wet fart. Whatever had a hold of Cooper's foot let go. Cooper flew out of the hole, propelled by Tim, Dave, and possibly his own flatulence. Dave immediately crawled over and laid a healing hand on Cooper's shredded foot.
"I heal thee!"
Julian wanted to watch the skin on Cooper's foot mend itself. It was a gruesome, yet fantastic sight that he had been witness to in the past. But there was no time. The creature, having braved its way through Cooper's fart, finally showed its face.
"What the hell is that?"
asked Julian. A furry head looked back at him. It was long and brown, with a white stripe running from the top of its head down to its nose. Its mouth dripped blood and strips of Cooper's foot.
"It's a badger," said Tim.
"Like hell it is," said Julian. "That thing is bigger than I am."
"It's a dire badger," said Dave.
He and Cooper were now back on their feet. Cooper was limping, as his wound was only partially healed.
"Oh, come on," said Julian. "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Do you mean to tell me that... Hey, where's Tim?"
Julian looked back at the spot where Tim had been standing, but Tim was gone. The ground began to rumble under Julian's feet. He leapt out of the way just in time to avoid a second dire badger head poking out of the ground.
"Jesus!"
he shouted, scrambling up to his feet. He stumbled backward a couple of steps and raised his hand toward the badger.
"Have some!"
The magic missile struck the badger just below the chin, singeing its fur and pissing it off. It looked at Julian with an expression in its eyes that he had only seen in one other living creature.
Cooper!
The badger climbed out of its burrow like a furry snake with Hulk arms, hissing and drooling, eyes locked on Julian. He mumbled a protective spell just in time to wrap his body in a faint blue light which caught the creature's first swipe. The claws were razor sharp and as long as Julian's fingers. If they could burrow through this stony ground, his meager spell was only going to offer a modicum of protection. The second claw proved Julian's assessment correct, ripping through the blue light, through his serape, and into his chest. Julian screamed, but the badger wasn't done with him. It lunged forward at him, biting deep into the muscles and tendons between his neck and shoulder. Julian and the badger rolled on the ground before he finally broke free. It had taken a souvenir. Julian's vision swam when he saw his own flesh hanging from the badger's teeth. He was too shocked to feel pain just yet, but he could feel the weakness setting in from loss of blood. Butterbean tore into the badger's side with his teeth. Even Ravenous flew down and pecked at its head. The badger didn't even seem to notice. Its eyes never left Julian.
Dave!
Julian called out weakly, making an effort not to throw up when he spoke. Dave was occupied fending off attacks from the other badger. He was alone. Where was Cooper? Where was Tim? Cooper, as it turned out, was right behind him.
I'm really angry,
he shouted. He brought his axe down on the badger's back, not seeming to notice or care that he almost chopped Ravenous in half. The badger was in bad shape, bleeding at least as badly as Julian was, but it didn't even spare Cooper a glance. It tensed its body for another lunge at Julian and was just about to strike when something fell out of the tree above it. It was Tim, dropping down on the giant badger, sword point first, with his entire weight behind it. This finally brought the beast out of its homicidal frenzy. It hissed and howled, spraying blood and spittle all over Cooper, while Tim twisted the blade and scrambled its insides. As the light of life faded out of the creature's eyes, Julian's attention was suddenly refocused on Dave's cries for help. He looked over to see Dave squaring off with the other badger all by himself. Both of them were splattered in blood. It was impossible to tell whose was whose, but from the way Dave was staggering, Julian guessed that at least some of it was his. Cooper was the first to Dave's assistance.
Fuck you, badger!
He shouted, the thunder in his voice shaking the air around them. His axe missed the badger, but sliced straight through the trunk of a tree. The poor wretched pine didn't have a chance. It exploded into splinters where the axe met its trunk and began to fall. Dave stepped up, looked the badger in the eye, and spat out a gob of blood. A growing hatred for animals burned bright in his eyes and bristled on the leopard fur of his forearm.
Why the long face? He said, swinging his mace with two hands into the badger's elongated head.
The sound of crunching bone briefly eclipsed the sound of falling tree, but that big bastard was still on its feet. Julian, barely able to sit up, made his own scant contribution to the fight. He raised an arm that felt like it was made out of lead, pointed a finger weakly at the badger, and breathed the words,
"Have some!"
This magic missile sputtered and sparked as it flew, but eventually it found its way to the badger's ass. That furry bastard wouldn't be ordering Mexican food anytime soon. Tim pulled his sword out of the dead badger, looked up to see a tree falling down on him, and dove out of the way. Butterbean made it out of the way as well. Ravenous was not so lucky. He got caught up in a tangle of branches and was slammed into the rocky ground. Julian could feel Ravenous's fear as he was forced to the ground. He felt a sensation like having the air suddenly forced out of his lungs when the tree landed. It was too much. He fell on his back and passed out. He awoke some time later. That was a pleasant surprise. It was later in the day, probably nearing evening. The darkness and grimness of the forest had become a bit darker and grimmer. He sat up.
Ravenous!
We're all fine, thanks,
said Cooper, sitting on a rock right next to him.
Where's Ravenous?
Your fucking bird is fine.
Ravenous hopped out from behind a nearby tree. He raised a wing.
So happy to see you awake, sir. I'm afraid I took a bit of a tumble.
What's wrong with your wing?
It might be broken.
Dave, Julian called out. Do you have any heels left?
I was saving one for you,
said Dave, wiping blood and bits of bone from his mace.
I'm fine, said Julian. Ravenous has a broken wing.
You're not fine, said Dave. We patched you up, but you're still only at a quarter of your full hit points.
I told you he wouldn't go for it, said Tim.
Listen, said Dave. Your affection for this fictional bird is charming, but we need to...
He's not a fictional bird, said Julian. He's right fucking here.
We're in a game. If the bird dies, well, he never really existed to begin with. If you die...
He shrugged. Julian struggled to his feet, only now feeling the intense pain between his neck and shoulder. It had been covered with strips of his serape.
Heal, Ravenous, or I won't accept any healing.
You're not thinking straight, said Dave, anger brewing in his voice. We're in a dangerous forest. This is my last fucking spell. If I waste it on a bird, you're probably going to die if we run into any more badgers or whatever. There could be worse things out there. And who knows what we're going to be up against if we find Catherine?
0 level,
said Tim. Julian and Dave looked at him. Cooper scratched his ass.
What?
Said Dave.
Do you have any 0-level healing spells available?
Those only heal 1 point apiece. They're next to worthless.
Worthless for a full-grown multi-level adult with a serious injury, maybe, said Tim. But what about for a bird with a broken wing?
2 0-level healing spells were all it took to bring Ravenous back up to his full health. Dave's remaining first-level spell brought Julian back up to minor scrapes and bruises.
Well, that's it, said Dave. My healing is all tapped out. How much farther do you think we'll have to climb before we get to wherever the hell it is that we're going?
Tim looked at Butterbean and then at Ravenous.
Ravenous, you can't talk to wolves, can you?
What makes you think that I'd be able to talk to wolves?
Said Ravenous.
Just a shot in the dark.
Tim's shoulders dropped.
There's no way to know.
We're not going to be able to stand another attack, said Dave.
Well, I'm not going back without finding Catherine, said Tim. Julian, do you have any of those horse spells?
You mean mount?
Cooper giggled.
Shut up, Cooper, said Tim. Yeah, do you have any mounts?
He gave Cooper a warning look. Cooper held in the laugh.
I used up those 2 first-level spells with those magic missiles, said Julian. I've got 2 more left, so I can summon 2 horses if we need them.
I think it's our best shot, said Tim. We'll ride the magic horses as far as we can. If anything attacks us, we'll just hope we can outrun it.
He looked around for any naysayers.
It's as good a plan as any, said Dave. Personally, I don't like our odds of surviving even if we turn back now on foot.
All right, said Tim. Let's not waste any more time then. It's getting late, and I would really like to limit the time we spend out here in the dark.
Horse, said Julian.
A light gray horse appeared before him, complete with saddle, bit, and bridle.
Cooper, said Tim. See if that horse can carry your weight.
Cooper mounted the horse, which didn't seem bothered at all by his weight.
Okay, good, said Tim. Help me up. If he can carry you, I shouldn't be much more of a burden to him.
Horse,
Julian said again. This time, a black horse appeared, but otherwise, this horse was identical to the first one.
I guess we're riding together,
he said to Dave. Julian mounted the horse with ease. Dave needed Cooper to lift him up by the arm.
Let's go, said Tim. Butterbean, find Catherine.
Butterbean barked and started running up the trail.
Go, horse, said Julian. Go fast.
His horse did as commanded, and the other horse followed. Julian shouted to Ravenous over the sound of galloping hooves.
Fly ahead and look out for danger.
Ravenous, ever faithful to his master, did as he was bid. They galloped for what seemed like an hour, the horses not once showing any signs of exhaustion. The forest grew less dense as they climbed until it was completely free of trees. Scraggly bushes clung to their pitiful lives through the cracks of rocks here and there, but the ground was mostly barren. The trail turned into a crumbling road, leading still higher aside a sheer cliff face. On the other side was open space. The road would have been comfortably wide enough for the horses to travel side by side if there were solid ground on both sides. But there was nothing comfortable about riding next to a 1,500-foot drop, so the horses remained in single file. Julian pulled on his reins.
We'd better take it slow now.
He brought his horse to a trot. The one behind him followed suit.
Why?
Asked Cooper.
These horses are only good for 2 hours. Have you been keeping track of the time?
No, I seem to have left my stopwatch in my other loincloth.
If we're riding at full gallop, when the spell's duration runs out, they'll disappear right out from under us, and we might even go sliding off the edge of the cliff.
He's right, said Tim. Anyway, I don't feel quite as vulnerable out here in the open as I did in that forest.
Yeah, said Julian. We should be relatively safe from dire squirrels out here. How much further up does this thing go?
He cupped his hands around his mouth and shouted,
Ravenous!
Within seconds, the black silhouette appeared against the purple evening sky. Ravenous flapped down to land on Julian's ready arm.
Sir?
How much farther up is it to the top?
Not much farther now.
Good, said Tim in a British accent. What's up there?
A keep,
said Ravenous. Dave practiced his vowel shifts.
Right. Hello, Governor. Scone.
Everyone looked at him. The elven tongue was still new to him.
That could be very good for us,
he said slowly and deliberately.
Or it could be very bad.
What the fuck are all you guys talking about?
Said Cooper, who couldn't understand the elven language. With some relief in his voice, Dave switched back to the common tongue.
Ravenous said that there's a keep at the top of this mountain.
Hey, that's great news,
said Cooper. Dave tugged at his beard.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Said Cooper.
We'll throw the owner a couple of coins, sleep there for the night, replenish your spells.
Cooper, said Tim, we followed Butterbean up here to find Catherine. If she's here, then she's probably being kept here against her will, which means whoever owns this place is probably an asshole who's going to try to murder us all.
I concede you may have found a potential flaw in my logic,
said Cooper.
It doesn't matter, said Tim. We don't have a lot of options available to us.
As if on cue, the two horses winked out of existence, one right after the other.
And there go two more. Let's get up there and survey the scene.
10 minutes later, they reached the point where the ground flattened. Butterbean was already waiting for them. They peeked over the edge of the rocky wall just before it evened up with the ground. The ground here was as bleak and barren as the side of the mountain. Nothing broke the dreary grayness of the landscape. Nothing, that is, but a small stone keep, as Ravenous had reported, and about 2 dozen zombies, which Ravenous had failed to mention. For now, the zombies paid them no mind.
Fuck,
said Cooper.
If I'm lucky, I might be able to take down 5 or 6 of those.
Undead aren't vulnerable to sneak attacks, said Tim glumly. I'll be doing good to take one with me while the others rip me to pieces.
I'm pretty much fucked, said Julian. I'm out of spells.
I could try turning them, said Dave. It's been a while since I played a cleric, and I don't quite remember how turning works.
Do you have a holy symbol? Asked Tim.
Yeah, said Dave. I bought one in the market yesterday.
He pulled out a round wooden carving of the sun with a face on it.
Does that represent a god? Asked Julian.
Yeah,
said Dave.
I guess.
I thought you didn't choose to follow a god. Which one is that?
I don't know. I asked the guy at the shop for a holy symbol of a god of healing or destruction. He gave me this.
How does it work? Asked Julian.
Hell if I know.
Just point it at the zombies and say something, said Tim. As long as your intention is to turn them, it should work. That should put the odds more in our favor, or at least give us a bit of breathing room.
Okay, said Tim. He was breathing quickly as he spit out the plan he was obviously making up there and then.
Dave and Cooper, you guys take the lead. Don't go out too far. You don't want to get surrounded in case we need to retreat. I'll run out next with Butterbean. We'll try to take down whatever Dave's turning doesn't cover. Julian? I don't know. Cheer us on or something.
Fuck that, said Julian. I want in on this action. There must be something I can do.
Wave your stick at them,
suggested Cooper.
Screw you.
No, said Tim. Cooper's not far off. Do you have any torches?
No, said Julian. But I've got oil.
I've got a torch, said Dave.
Good, said Tim. Go back down the road a bit and light it up. I'm pretty sure these fuckers are susceptible to fire.
Dave hurried back down the road far enough so that lighting a fire shouldn't provoke any unwanted attention until they were ready.
Julian, after we all make our move, you start throwing flasks of oil at any of those things that are still on their feet. When you get an opening, light the fuckers up. Got it?
Yeah.
Listen, guys, Tim continued. Once they're on fire, just back off and let them burn.
The last thing you want is a flaming zombie hug. Dave passed the lit torch to Julian. He readied his mace in one hand and his holy symbol in the other. Cooper held his axe with both hands. They looked at one another, nodded, and stepped out onto the flat ground.
Try to get them to group together, said Dave, so I can turn as many as possible in one go.
Hey, cocksuckers,
Cooper shouted.
I've got some fresh meat for you, right here.
Julian couldn't see Cooper, but he had no doubt that Cooper was waving his dick at the zombies.
All right, said Dave. Here they come.
Those guys can really move when they got somewhere to go,
said Cooper. Julian lowered the torch and peeked above the flat ground level. Zombies moaned and dragged their feet as they walked hurriedly to feast on Dave and Cooper's flesh. The party was surrounded on all sides but the trail they'd come up from. Dave held up his holy symbol and pointed it at the largest congregation of zombies.
In the name of, whoever this symbol represents, I compel thee to, turn?
A single zombie shrieked and fled in terror. The gap he left behind was quickly filled in by the growing multitude.
Fuck, said Dave. That sucked.
He swung his mace into the ribcage of a naked dead man just below his outstretched arm. The ribs crunched, but the zombie didn't seem at all concerned by it. Tim fired his crossbow into the zombie that Dave had attacked. The bolt hit its mark square in the face, burrowing upward from the cheek into whatever remained of its brain. It staggered backward for 2 steps. Butterbean and Ravenous set upon it like savages. Ravenous pulled one of its eyes out of its head, flapping away before the thing could claw at its own face. Butterbean ripped a chunk of muscle off of its right upper thigh. Whether from lack of vision, loss of leg muscle, or scrambled coordination, the zombie staggered around in a circle for a few steps before stepping right off the edge of the cliff.
Julian! Shouted Dave. Anytime you're ready with that oil!
Shit. Julian knew he should have prepared that already. With the torch in one hand, he rummaged through his backpack with the other hand until it wrapped around a smooth glass flask. The crowd up above was large enough such that he didn't even bother looking to see where he was throwing it. Hopefully, he'd splash a bunch of them. He could spend a couple of rounds down here, making sure the crowd was good and saturated, chuck the torch into the middle of it, and watch the zombie chaos ensue. Zombie moans were being silenced by axe and mace up above him. Julian threw his first flask over the ledge.
Ow!
Shouted Dave just after the sound of breaking glass. Shit.
Sorry!
Shouted Julian.
Damn it, Julian! It's all over my hair! Watch where you're throwing that shit!
Julian scurried up the path to get a clear shot for his next flask of oil. There were zombies everywhere. He leaned the torch against a rock and dug into his pack with both hands.
Hurry the fuck up, Julian,
shouted Cooper.
I can't hold these fuckers off for... Wow!
What happened?
Asked Dave. He held one zombie at bay with his shield while caving in the skull of another one with his mace.
Fucker bit me,
said Cooper. He dug a clawed thumb into the eye socket of the zombie gnawing his arm, got a solid grip on it, and ripped its head clean off. As he was throwing it into the crowd, another zombie caught his uninjured arm and bit down. Julian threw 2 flasks of oil into the middle of the crowd and dug around for 2 more. Tim fired a bolt into the back of the zombie on Cooper's arm, but it didn't even seem to notice.
Julian! He shouted. Throw the goddamn torch already! You can throw more oil once the fire gets going!
Julian ignored him, as he already had 2 more flasks ready to go. A zombie broke from the crowd and lumbered toward him. He nearly dropped the flasks out of fear, but Butterbean came in from the side and tackled the zombie. Julian threw the oil. At least one of the flasks made a good splash on the crowd. Dave took a swipe at the zombie on Cooper's arm, crushing its spine. The creature's legs went limp, but he still held on to Cooper with arms and teeth.
God damn it!
Cooper shouted. He ignored the zombie on his arm for now, in favor of not inviting another one to eat him. He brought his axe down on an approaching zombie's shoulder, cutting it down to its chest.
Light these fuckers up!
Julian picked up the torch and threw it into the crowd, making his best judgment as to where he thought it might have a good chance of catching some oil. His heart stopped for 2 seconds while nothing happened. He had failed, and they were all going to be eaten alive by zombies because of it. But he hadn't failed. A warm whoosh of air blew his hair back, as the darkness became light. Moans turned into screams as confused zombies waved their fiery arms around, spreading the flames to each other. The zombies on the edge tried to move away, but their lack of coordination kept them bumping into one another in a panicked frenzy to escape the flames. Tim took aim at one, which seemed like it might be moving in the right direction, and shot it in the face. Cooper left his axe buried in the torso of the last zombie he'd chopped and tore himself free from the half-paralyzed body still gnawing on his arm. He lifted the body over his head and threw it into the flaming mass of walking corpses. Tim picked off stragglers while Dave tended to Cooper's wounds.
"Is he going to be okay?" asked Julian. "They got his arms pretty good," said Dave, tearing a strip of cloth from Julian's rapidly shrinking serape.
He tied it around the bleeding tooth marks on Cooper's left arm.
"But if we can keep from being attacked for 5 fucking minutes, he should pull through."
Julian tore off another strip of cloth for Cooper's other arm.
"But," he paused, "I mean, is he going to turn into..."
He looked at the fiery crowd of screaming zombies.
"One of them?"
Dave looked at Julian and smiled sympathetically, as if he were on the inside of some joke that Julian wasn't privy to.
"No," said Dave. "These aren't movie zombies. They don't spread a zombie disease. They're just dead people that have been animated by some kind of necromancer."
Julian let out a long, steady breath.
"Don't get comfortable just yet," said Tim,
taking aim at a wandering zombie which was completely engulfed in flames. He fired. It collapsed into a burning heap.
"How do you think that necromancer is going to feel when he sees that we've destroyed all of his handiwork down here?"
Julian frowned and looked at the dark stone keep. Something shimmered in the doorway. And then there were two somethings.
Guys?
"What is it?"
asked Dave. "We're about to make some new friends."